You are listening to Backstage Pass podcast, hosted by Hannah Cridwell and brought to you by Tom. The Backstage Pass podcast is a guide for upcoming artists and newcomers to the music industry. Each week, I speak to experts in different fields, and in this episode, I'll be talking to tour manager Emma Edgar about her experiences from touring and top tips for getting into tour management. Hello, Emma Edgar, how are you?
Hi, I'm really good, thank you.
Good. So you are a tour and production manager, which is such a cool job to have.
Thanks.
I bet everybody says that.
Everybody says that. I mean, it's a great job. I'm very happy to have it and very grateful. It's a hard job. It's not always the easiest job in the world, but I definitely enjoy it.
Let's do some quick fire questions. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Acoustic drums or trigger pad?
Acoustic drums.
Live streamed gigs or hologram tours?
Oh, live stream gigs.
Have you seen a hologram gig before?
No, but I don't find the idea of it that exciting. I mean, the technology is exciting, obviously, but I find the whole thing just a little bit like, I mean, literally flogging a dead horse.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not very dignified. The technology is incredible. The production's incredible, but there's something a little bit weird.
It's cool for like the artist family, I guess, if they're able to collect royalties and whatnot and make money from that kind of thing. But I don't know. I feel like it's morally strange territory.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It depends who's come up with the idea. You know, if it's like if it's the label that just wants to make a little bit more money, then it's a little bit like strange. But I guess if it was, you know, it's a personal choice. If that was your, you know, your father or your daughter or someone that you wanted to see perform again, I guess. But I feel like that should be more like a private moment and not something you would sell tickets for. So, I mean, I'm not judging, but I wouldn't go and see hologram tour.
Sound check or bus call?
Bus call. When you can do no more and like the truck doors are shut, everyone's on the bus is left. That's the perfect time for a tour manager because, you know, like there's only so much trouble they can get into on a bus. There's only the gig's done. You're on your way to the next one. Like everything's fine. So yeah, bus call.
So for the viewers and the listeners of Backstage Pass, to introduce you a little bit more, I guess, can you give us a little backstory on your career so far?
I moved to England in 2001 when I was 19. And I was really lucky that I managed to get a job at SJM Concerts, which is like one of the biggest independent concert promoters. I was just an office junior there for about 6 months, just making the tea and sending faxes. And then one day they asked me if I wanted to go and work in the production department. So I didn't know one end of like an amp or a PA from the other, but didn't really seem to matter. It was fine. So I was there and I worked there for 13 years and worked my way up until I was a production manager there, running gigs and festivals and live events for them. But I find that I really enjoyed the side of it where I was at the gigs. I really enjoyed like talking to the people who were touring and just wanted to get out a little bit and see a bit of the world. So I went freelance 8 years ago and I started touring. And since then, I've been touring ever since until a global pandemic came and made me stay at home.
Yeah. What are the sort of favourite acts that you've worked with so far?
Worked with Everything, like a Manchester electronic band. I've worked with Gerard Way, the singer from My Chemical Romance. Worked with Wolf Alice, which is really exciting because I was working with them when they won the Mercury, which was a great night. More recently, the last 18 months, I've been working with Hot Chip. At the current moment, we're just waiting to go back out on the road and finish the album campaign. We just did one live stream show with Hot Chip from Dreamland in Margate in September, which was really nice because after not seeing everyone since March, it was just really cool to like see all the band and crew and just kind of reconnect a little bit. But apart from that one streaming show, we're just waiting for next summer, really, just to see if everything's going to go ahead.
I guess touring and festivals are a lot different to manage as well. Which do you prefer?
I prefer festivals if we're headlining them.
Right.
If you're not headlining, they can always sometimes be a little bit more tricky. When you're at a festival, you rarely get a sound check, or sometimes you can sound check or very early in the morning or the day before. So it's nice sometimes to do a European festival and you just get on the bus at King's Cross and sleep overnight, wake up, play an hour, get back on the bus, drive back home.
That's quite cool.
Yeah, there's a nice vibe to those kind of weekend festival runs that you can do. But then also being on tour is, it's a different mindset because you're usually away for like at least 3 weeks, maybe a little bit longer. You have more time, obviously, but there's a lot more to do.
I remember one of the shoestring budget tours that I did, and one date we were playing Newcastle and the next date was Brighton, but something was happening. That's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
For the international viewers and listeners, Newcastle and Brighton is maybe like 7-hour trip, something like that.
At least, with no traffic having to stop because there's like 8 people in the van.
That's
you've got to stop for the toilet.
Yeah. So we played Newcastle and then I went to sleep for 2.5 hours. And then we drove, and because we were just in a little car and I couldn't really sleep in the car, we drove to Leeds to be ready for 5:45 because there was a press thing happening. That was the thing that was funding the whole tour. So did that on the morning and then drove to Brighton. And then by the time ready for the Brighton show, and I was like, this would be so much easier if we could just have a sleeper bus and, you know, but that's how it's got to be at the beginning because as you say, have to conserve expenses. You've recently, you say, come back from India and Australia. Is there anywhere where you wouldn't tour if you were just starting out? Like, is there anywhere where you'd think actually you need to have like a proper team and support infrastructure in place to be able to tour in that country?
I think as long as you've got a good sense of humour, anything's possible. There's definitely countries that are more difficult than others. Obviously, there's places that you know are always going to be a little bit hokey, but I think as long as you've got a good person with you, like a good translator, a good rep that's there with you, then I think just go and have an adventure. Just try not to take it too seriously and just see what happens. You know, some of my favourite tours have been like 13 dates in Russia and ending up in China, you know, traveling by the Trans-Siberian and stuff like that. We're just...
Whoa, I bet that was amazing.
Yeah, it was incredible. And also, like, I think if you have an artist that's kind of chilled and in a good place about it, then when you're doing those things, it's not as difficult because it could be a lot more stressful. If they understand the limitations of where you're going and what you're doing, then that's... So I think if you are up and coming and you're going to those places, just go with a bit of a sense of adventure and just see what happens because you'll get some incredible memories. You know, the gear might be terrible, but at least if you can have a laugh about it, you know, and just eat some food and just explore and just enjoy being in those places that, you know, touring's just not about doing great shows. I mean, obviously that is the purpose of why you go there, but it's such a journey, like mentally as well. And we're really privileged that we can get to go to those places. So I would say, like, never turn down an offer. If you can afford to go there, then just go and do it and see what happens.
So what advice would you give to somebody who wanted to be a tour manager or a production manager who is just starting right from zero? What advice would you give?
I think do something that I didn't do and learn a skill. You know, it does make you more employable if you can do something else. So if you can learn some kind of technical skill, definitely do that. Just try and build a network of people, you know, try and go to as many shows as you can and talk to people. If you can get a part-time job in a venue or you can, you know, work somewhere that, you know, in a studio or somewhere where artists are coming in and out, just be in contact with people when they're starting out, if they're going on tour. If you can drive, that's really great as well. You know, offer to help in those ways. It doesn't mean that you have to work for free or be taken advantage of, although that is unfortunately something that can happen. So just be very careful that you are keeping yourself healthy in that way. But yeah, just get involved. Get involved as much as you can and try and get on those tours. Approach fans, approach people that work in the industry, and you know, you can send them questions, you can ask them for things and just see if they'll respond to you and give you some hints and tips. And just stay in contact with people, network, be friendly, don't be a nuisance. If people don't like over, you know, email people every day, but you know, just try and build those little contacts, go on courses, you know, sign up. There's a lot of people doing Zoom seminars and things at the moment, which are not just handy for information, but just, you know, you could email them afterwards and ask them a couple more questions, and if they know anybody locally that's doing things. So it really is mainly about who you know, and you'll just get a chance. And when you get that chance, just try your hardest, just be pleasant, be helpful, just do whatever you can to be invited back to do more things, because that is literally how it works.
What is your track of the week?
My track of the week, I've gone with some classic indie from Sea Girls, and it's called This Is The End.
Ooh, nice. What is the best lesson you've learned in your career so far?
You can work with someone and then 10 years later, they turn up running the festival that you're performing at, or being an artist liaison for the festival that you're at, and you might need to really work with them. And if you're gracious to everybody that you meet, which is not easy, and obviously not perfect, I've definitely been ungracious at times in my career, but if you can just try and remember that all these people are just need to be around you and might be important to you in the future, then that's a good tip to have. And also have your own support network, because touring can be very difficult mentally and physically, and for you to have a support network around you, people that you can talk to about it and people that you can gain help from, is very important as well.
Absolutely agreed. Well, thanks very much for speaking to me today.
No,
it's been awesome to get your insights on touring and festivals.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning into this episode. Be sure to hit subscribe and leave a comment to let us know what you think. And I will see you next time on Backstage Pass.